because I think it's worth retelling. So there was an elderly lady, and she was getting ready to die. She had a terminal illness. So she called her pastor to come to the house so that she could begin to make preparations. So she told her pastor what song she wanted sung at her funeral, what scriptures she wanted read, and she also told them that she wanted to be buried with her favorite Bible. And so once they had completed these preparations, he got up to leave, and she said, "Oh, there's one more thing. I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand." And of course, to his amazement, he looked at her and she goes, "Let me tell you why. It's because in all of my years going to different luncheons and church socials and fellowships, when they came and cleared out the main course dishes, someone would lean over and say, 'Keep your fork.'" And she said that always excited her because she knew in keeping her fork that she had an expectation that something better was coming than what they had had on the main course. She said she was expecting chocolate cake, banana pudding, lemon meringue pie, apple pie, but just something better than what she had already received. And so she said, "When people look at me in my coffin and they see that fork in my right hand, I want them to know that I have lived my life in expectation, looking for what is coming next." Now, this isn't part of the story, but as I was preparing, I thought to myself, I bet she knows Job 19, verse 25, where it says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed." And I thought she probably also knew Titus 1, verse 2. It says, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." Even when man fell in the garden, we had Genesis 3:15 that gave us an expectation of something better to come than living in this sinful body. We have an expectation that Jesus would come, the Messiah would come, and he would destroy the works of the devil. Now that's just a given. That's just God's word. And I believe that believers should live with expectation. Now I've used the term believers, I don't know, for many, many, many years, mainly because at first I thought it just sounded better than Christians, even though Christians are Christ-like. But believers, and as I was preparing for this, I thought, believers, James 2 tells us, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well." Don't we all just fit right there? But then it goes on to say, "The devils also believe and tremble." So even the devils believe in God. So you could say it this way. Even the devils are believers. So I'm not talking about those kind of believers. I'm not just talking about those believers who believe in God. But I want to talk this morning about the believers in Romans 10, where it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. See, that's a completely different type of believer. It's not one who just believes who Jesus is, but I'm talking to those believers who not only just believe who he is, but who believe in what he has done. Believe in the sacrifice that he paid on Calvary's cross. Believe in his shedding of his blood. Believe that he died and went to the grave. Believe that God raised him on the third day. Believe and identify with the fact that he is our substitute man. So those are the believers that I want to talk to this morning. Because I want to talk about what we can expect as believers. See, faith in Jesus is not just about what a believer is going to receive in the future, but it's about what we can expect to receive down here. And I have found that God will always meet his people where we are with our expectation. If we are expecting high, God is going to meet us high. But if we're expecting low, guess where he's going to meet us? Low. Wherever our expectation is, that is where he is going to meet us. So there are some things that, as the Romans 10 believers, that we can expect to receive. And these things are not just precious promises, as Peter talks about, but these things are statements of fact. And I say that because when I say statement of fact, that means that you can bank on it. That means that you can put all of your trust, all of your faith, everything that you got, you can put it in on God's word, and it's going to happen. And one of the things that we can expect to receive as believers is forgiveness of sin. And you know, really, that's basically where it starts. And this forgiveness of sin, it's not a one-time event, thank you, Jesus. Because we don't just sin that one time, ask God for forgiveness, and then we spend the rest of our life going about our merry way. Because during the rest of our life, as we go about our merry way, guess what's going to happen? We're going to sin again. And we're going to sin again. And we're going to sin again. So thank God that the forgiveness of sin that we receive is not just a one-time thing, but it's a continual process. And please believe me, this does not give anybody permission to continue to sin. If we continue to sin, God forbid. If we continue to sin once we have come into the knowledge of the truth, you know, we're putting the sacrifice that Jesus paid to a shame. But the fact of the matter is, because we are man, we will sin. And because we will sin, we have forgiveness of sin set up for us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One of the hardest issues we have, first off, is admitting we have sinned And secondly, be willing to confess that we are sin, have sinned. And I thought about when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and there were two thieves on either side of him. And the scripture tells us that both of them were railing at him. But then one of the thieves came to himself. And he told the other one, you know, we're up here because of mistakes that we have made. But this is a just man who has committed no sin, yet he's still hanging with us. And he looked over at Jesus and he said, remember me when you go into your kingdom. So first off, not only did he recognize who Jesus was, go back to the devils believe and tremble, but he also recognized what he had done, the position that he held, who he was, which is the Messiah, the Son of God. He knew that he had a kingdom. He knew that he was going to heaven. And he wanted Jesus to take him to his kingdom with him. As believer saints, we have the expectation that there is someplace better than this earth. We have the expectation in knowing that Jesus said that he was going away to prepare a place for us. And because of that forgiveness of sin, because sin separates us from the Father, sin keeps us from being in the place that God had intended for us to be. But it's that reconciliation that we have through Jesus that we can expect to be able to get to a place to where we're with Jesus again. So we can get to that place that he's prepared for us. When he said, in my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you. But he's gone to prepare a place for us. And the only way that we can get there, first off, is to repent, to ask for forgiveness for our sins. And then we can expect to receive salvation, God's grace, his mercy, giving us a position to where we can receive eternal life with him. Now, I say that because it's so important. We all talk about eternal life. You know, that's just what we want. We want eternal life. But we have to realize that regardless of whether we're a believer and what Jesus has done and the sacrifice that he has paid, or we don't believe on him, we'll still have eternal life. The question is, will that eternal life be spent with him in heaven? Or will that eternal life be spent in torment? So we can expect salvation and eternal life back with the Father. You know, it all goes back to when God created the earth. He created Adam and he communed with Adam. He had a relationship with Adam. But sin came in and sin severed that relationship. But we as believers, we can expect for that relationship to be put back together. You know, I always like to use being up here, and there's a space right down here. I call it a gulf. So there's this gulf here, and up here would be God. Not saying I'm God. No, I don't want nobody leaving here thinking. No, I'm just saying up here in this space is God. There's a gulf, and down here is man. And so man could not breach the gulf to get to God, and God would not breach. Notice I said would not, because he can do whatever he wants, but he would not breach the gulf to get to man. Because in this gulf is sin. And he does not accept sin in any shape, form, or fashion. So as long as that sin remains here, there was no way for God to connect with man and no way for man to connect with God. Until Jesus. And Jesus came. He laid down his life. He allowed his own creation to nail him to a cross. And when he did that, that cross, that sacrifice, breached that sinful gulf. Because he was sinless. He was that Paschal lamb, the perfect sacrifice. And so as believers, we can expect to receive reconciliation back to God because of that cross. Because the cross was able to breach the sin. So we can expect to have eternal life and spend eternal life with the Father and not in torment. And then we can expect to have a new identity and a transformation. Now, that sounds really easy, but this new identity and this transformation, it's a lifelong process. And that lifelong process is called sanctification. Thank God for sanctification. But you know, if you're ever cleaning something that is filthy, dirty, it's not an easy task. But it's his loving kindness that continues to keep him to be willing to allow his spirit to sanctify us. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, the new has come. All things are made new. When we have a personal relationship with Jesus, that brings us, it leads us to having a new identity in him. Meaning that regardless of what our past failures were, we can put them behind us because when we ask for forgiveness, when we confessed our sin, God put them as far as the east is from the west. So we can put our past sins behind us. And we will begin to identify with Jesus. And when we begin to identify with him, it should change the way that we walk, change the way that we talk. When we have this transformation, this renewing of our mind, we don't look at the world the way that the world looks at the world. We don't talk like the world talks. We don't walk like the world walks because we're being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. We've gotten this new mind. We've gotten this new identity. We identify with him. And therefore, we can expect to be like him. You know, there's no way, if you are following somebody closely, and I'm going to use this word lightly, but I can't think of another word to help me explain what I have to say. But if you are mocking somebody, you are doing exactly what they're doing. So as we have this new identity, as we have this transformation, it's going to allow us to mock Jesus. And in mocking him, we can expect to be like him. If we do not show love one for another, yet Jesus loves us, how can we expect to receive that love from him? Because he said, how can you love me when you don't have love for your brother? So we need to be able to identify with Jesus, allow the transformation, the sanctification process to take over. And then we can expect to be like him. We can expect to have peace and rest. I don't know about y'all. I can use some peace right now. I'm not getting political, but what I am going to say, when I look at what's happening in our world, not just our nation, but in our world today, we need peace, not just from war. We need peace in our mind. When you look at the situation that we are having as we're trying to raise children in this world, we need peace in our homes. Even if we have no children and it's just the husband and the wife, we need peace in our home. When we're dealing with one another, we need peace. You know, it saddens me because I've had to let some friends go. And these are friends that I have had for 20 plus years. But we're not agreeing on things right now. And in order for me to have peace, and in order for me to have rest, it's just best that we do not communicate with one another. Because Jesus didn't pay the price that he paid so that I did not have peace. He told his disciples when he was going away, he said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives it." Because if we're looking for the world to give us peace, if we're expecting the world to give us peace, we're looking in the wrong place. However, as believers, we can expect to get our peace from Jesus. He said, "Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for it is easy and you will find rest for your soul." I'm tired of carrying these burdens. I'm tired of carrying this person's problem or that person's problem. And sometimes these aren't even people that I really know, I just know of. Come on, y'all. I am not the only one. You know, you can be watching something on TV and you see something about somebody and you go, oh. And it just kind of burdens you down. But we can expect to have peace and rest with our Lord Jesus Christ as a believer. You know, he has called us to have rest from the burdens of this world. That itself is a blessing. Knowing that I can have peace in the midst of the storms. Regardless of what's going on, the calamities that are going on, you know, sometimes it feels like pots and pans and loud noises and just a whole bunch of confusion going on. But in the midst of that storm, we can expect for Jesus to step out and say, "Peace, be still." We can expect for him to make the burden that we have been carrying light, to take it upon himself so that we don't have to carry it. And we can have that peace in him. We can expect, as believers, to have answered prayers. Answered prayers. John 15 and 7 tells us, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." God hears and answers a believer's prayer. Now, don't get me wrong, because I don't want you leaving here saying, I don't want y'all leaving here saying, "Sister Lincoln said." I don't want you leaving here saying, all of my prayers are going to be answered by God. That I have to agree. All of your prayers will be answered by God. But it does not necessarily mean you're going to get the answer that you had wanted. You know, because we look for, oh, Lord, give me such and such and so, and I'm looking for a yes. And God says no. He answered. It just wasn't the answer that we were looking for. But we can expect, if we go boldly to the throne of grace, he will hear us. If we come and sit and reason with him, he will hear us. And although we think for the most part, we're grown. Therefore, I must know what's best, right? Because I'm grown. But when it comes to God, first off, we don't want to be grown. We want to be as little children, desiring the sincere milk and being in a place so that our Father can give us direction. And we have to realize that everything that we think is good for us may not necessarily be good for us. And so as we're praying, we can expect to receive an answer, but we need to know that that answer may not be what we were expecting to hear. As I said earlier, God meets us at our expectation, where we are. And if we want God to do something in our life, we need to expect him to do something in our life. And although I talked about the answer may be no, he is not going to withhold any good thing from us. That is just not his nature. So we can expect for him to move in our life. And I want to close with this last scripture. 1 Peter 1, starting with verse 3, it said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that faded not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Part of our salvation includes an expectation of an inheritance. Part of us being believers includes the expectation of an inheritance. That God has something for those who have put their faith and trust in his only begotten Son. We can have confidence in knowing that what we're expecting, God is going to do. As I said earlier, although they are called precious promises, they are statements of fact. When we find a scripture in the Bible, and don't get it skewed, but we can stand on God's word. And we can expect that if he said it, it's going to happen. We can expect that he will be able to do it. He's able to perform the good work in our body. And as I close and go to prayer, I want to end with what we expect is nothing compared to what we have already seen. You know, the scripture says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither is entered into the heart of man the things that God has in store for them. And we tend to like to stop right there. But that scripture goes on to say, but God hath revealed it by his Spirit. So we can expect, as a believer, allowing God's Spirit to lead us, that there are better days ahead. There is something much better than, regardless of what our life is on this earth, how things are going, there's something much better waiting for us. Let's bow our heads. Most holy and righteous Father, Lord, we just appreciate all that you have done. We give you all the praise, Lord, because you are the one, the true, the only living God. And yet you bestow love upon us each and every day. Lord, you bestow love upon the just and the unjust. It just pours out. And God, as believers today, we come to you and we expect for your love to continue to flow. We expect your mercy to be shown upon us, your forgiveness. God, we just thank you right now for all that you have done for us, for your word that you have given us to be able to stand and see you for who you are. God, we continue to look to you each and every day.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Father, as we continue to expect and look for you every single day, the author and finisher of our faith, Lord God, we continue to seek after your guidance, your correction, your love, your joy, your peace, your long-suffering. Continue to fill us, Lord God, not only just for ourselves, but to pull others towards you, to lead others towards you, Lord God, because the time is short. And yet we have an expectation that you're going to give to us the inheritance of your kingdom. We want the others that are lost to experience that as well, too. So, Lord God, strengthen us as we go about our days to share your word, to share your love with others so that they may give their lives to you as well. We thank you, Father, for your word today. And we thank you for what you'll continue to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Lord is good always. And we thank him for his majestic power and his love toward us. If you haven't had a chance to give, we do need your support. As you know, we have the projectors that need to be changed out. Also, there's no Bible class this coming Wednesday because the projectors will be switched out. And the food pantry, we do need donations, dry foods, canned foods. If you have any questions regarding what type of foods need to be donated to our food pantry, please see Sister Boyd here in the red shirt. Sister Boys. We want to thank those that have joined us by webcast. We really appreciate you tuning in with us. We love you and hope to see you in the second service as well. If you would stand so we can be dismissed. It was good to see everybody out this morning. And for those that will return for the second service, we look forward to another hour of fellowship. Father, as we depart from this place, we once again thank you for your word. We ask that you will continue to be with us throughout this day and through the rest of this week. We pray blessings over each other and over our pastors and ministers. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.